Be'ez Hashem Yisbo'ach, we begin Perek Shlishi, the third Perek in the Rambam Silchas Machol Sasurus, and the laws of forbidden food items, which in the Rambam Sefer Kedusha, which the Rambam, the first two Prakim, had first qualified what is kosher, what's not kosher, of all the different species, and the punishments related to that. And now in the third Perek, the Rambam discusses that which is a derivative from the animals in regards to their milk and in regards to their eggs. As the Rambam opens up in Halacha Alf, the actual Isser itself. Kol machal, any food item, hayyotzi mimin haminin, that comes out, that's from a species, that's from the type of species, harsun, that are forbidden, and moreover, shalok and al-chalos, and that one gets lashes for eating them, which that's specifically a negative prohibition, not by positive commandment. Hari oisa machal, also bachil natoy, so that food item that's coming out from the non-kosher entity is also going to be forbidden biblically to eat. Kagurin, for example, chalib behemah b'chayat meim, the milk of a non-kosher domestic or wild animal. Ubeya oifa dagat meim, or the eggs of a non-kosher bird or fish. Shnomach says in the pasuk, "Miyukav es basayan," and the daughter of the ostrich. What does it mean, daughter of the ostrich? Zubitzas refers to the egg. But what did lachal ha'asakan, and so to anything that's forbidden, like an ostrich, that has the same halacha, not specifically an ostrich. Ulachal dvar madim lebeya, and also not just that it's any type of non-kosher entity, but anything that's similar to an egg, which is squeezed out of the body of the non-kosher animal itself, is going to be similarly forbidden. Now, halacha beis, however, the Rambam qualifies two exceptions, that of human milk and of the honey of a bee. As Rambam says, chaliva adam mutar b'achila, the milk of a human, a woman's milk, is permitted to be eaten. Afa b'shar b'sar adam asa b'achila, though the flesh of a human being is forbidden to be eaten. But a kvar b'an, this is the Rambam, because we already explained in Perek Bez Halacha Gimel Shu Ba'aseh, that it's only a positive commandment not to eat human flesh. Now, by an Isra Aseh, there's no rule that whatever is a derivative from something not kosher is not kosher itself. As I said in the previous Halacha, it's only something that one gets lashes for, it's a negative prohibition, which would not apply by human breast milk. Now, Halacha Gimel also says the Rambam, Dvash, Dvash, Dvayim, the honey from a bee, with Dvash Tzuram, the honey from a hornet, which are two non-kosher briyos, Mutter, the honey is permitted. Why? Because it's not the essence, it's not squeezed out of the body itself. It's not from the entity of the bee. Rather, what it is that the bee gathers this element from the herbs in its mouth, and it expels it, it spits it out into its hive, which that creates the honey. So that they should have what to eat throughout the rainy season, but it's not from the body of the bee itself, and maybe that's also permitted. Now, in Halacha Dad, Ram qualifies what he said in Halacha Beis. Although human woman's breast milk is permitted to drink, but the sages made it forbidden for an adult to nurse directly from the breast. Rather, what the woman could do is she could milk herself into a vessel, and then an adult could drink from that vessel. And an adult that nurses from the breast, it's like he's nursing a sharet, a non-kosher bug, and this is a rabbinic law, and therefore they give him rabbinic lashes. Now, halacha, hey, however, yoinik, an infant, a baby, could nurse even for 4 or 5 years. Now, however, but if they already weaned him, and already for 3 or more days, he has not nursed. Now it's machmas buria, but because of health reasons, he doesn't need anymore. Lo machas chali, not because of illness. Then he cannot go back and continue nursing. Again, it's the same prohibition about nursing directly from a woman. Now vahu, this is only shigemalu acher esrim arba chodesh, that he was weaned from nursing after already 24 months. Abateich zman zeh, but it's within the first 2 years, within 24 months. Afilu gemalu chodesh hashem, even if they weaned him off, the baby stopped nursing for 1 or 2 months. The baby's allowed to come back and continue nursing until the end of the 24 months. Now, in Halacha Vav, the Rambam continues regarding the milk of animals and regarding the eggs of birds. Says the Rambam, although the milk of a non-kosher animal and the eggs of a non-kosher bird, assuming that Torah are biblically forbidden, as we said in the Halacha Aleph, but in Likin Alim, one does not get lashes of them. Why? Shenema, because it says in the pasuk, mibsam lisechilu, from their flesh you shouldn't eat. The pasuk is explicitly telling that alabasu would like it, that one gets lashes only for the flesh. Vein like alabeya balchav, one does not get lashes for the eggs and for the milk. And rather, the one who's eating the eggs or the milk is ka'ichel chatzi shir, is like the halach of someone who eats what's called chatzi shir, to have the measurement, which that we learn out from a Joshua of kol chelub lisechilu. Now, there's only an isseminator, but there's no lashes. So too, the egg of a non-kosher bird, or the milk of a non-kosher animal, is also learned from a drash, like we said, from Basayana, where here also, it's going to have a biblical prohibition, because it's from something that one gets lashes on the primary entity. So this derivative is also biblically prohibited, but they know like it, but one does not get lashes of Makanus and Makas Madis, but says the Rambam, we give him rabbinic lashes. Now Halacha Zayin says the Rambam, Yiroli, but seem to me, someone eats the eggs of non-kosher fish that are found inside the stomach of the fish, inside the intestines where the eggs are made, it's like eating the intestines of the non-kosher fish themselves, because since it's in the fish itself and there's no peels, there's no shells, so it's like regular flesh of the fish. So therefore, one would even get biblical lashes. Unlike, like we said, when there's an egg that's laid or hatched from a non-kosher bird. So too, the eggs of a non-kosher bird, which are hanging in the cluster, which is how it's made inside the bird, it has not yet become detached, it has not yet even completed yet. So it's like, really, the one that's going to eat is going to get lashes. It's like eating the intestines of the non-kosher bird, and therefore, the same penalty of lashes will apply. Halacha ches. Beyas oiv tame, the egg of a non-kosher bird, shehiskel ho'afroich lisrakimba, that the embryo started developing into a chick, v'acholoi, and he eats that egg, loikim mishum oichel sheretz oiv, the lashes are for eating a sheretz that flies, meaning not going to get lashes for a non-kosher bird, because it's not yet a bird, rather it's qualified like a sheretz. Now, avol beyas ho'oiv, tahar, but regarding a kosher egg that started developing as an embryo and he eats it, Makanus and Makas Mardis, is going to get rabbinic lashes, which is only rabbinically forbidden if it didn't yet come out and hatch. But that's, again, it's a kosher egg, so therefore that is rabbinically prohibited, and therefore rabbinic lashes. Now, Lachad Tess. Nimtzalav Kairadun. Let's say you find on the egg, you find a drop of blood. So imala chelbon, and again, this is all related. The blood is obviously regarding the formation of the embryo, which is what we're saying makes the egg prohibited. So ima ala chelbon, if it's on the white part of the egg and the albumen, zerikas adam, so you could just throw away the blood, which that's obviously the beginning of the chick, which again that's forbidden. So you just throw that away. But you eat the rest. But imala chelbon, but if it's on the yolk, on the yellow part. Asur kula, then the whole egg is forbidden, because that means it already started spreading throughout the primary part of the egg, and it's all forbidden. Now, peah muzeris, an unfertilized egg, which that's the type of egg that was not from a male, from a rooster, rather it's the hen heats itself up from the ground, and it lays the eggs, and those eggs are not able to have their hatch any chicks. So the refined soul, as it's called, would eat it. In other words, he's not so disgusted from that. And that's the type of egg that such a person would eat. Now, Alocha Yud, Efroich Shenoilad, regarding a chick that hatched, Afa Bishlinis Batre Einov, even though the chick has not yet opened up its eyes, it's already permitted to eat that chick. And like we said, if it didn't come out to the world yet, then it's rabbinically forbidden as a sheretz. But if it came out, even though it didn't open up its eyes, it's permitted to eat it. Now, behemet tairish and nitrifa, regarding a kosher animal that was mauled, that became a treifa, chalava asur kachaliv behemet tmeya. So its milk is prohibited, like the milk of a non-kosher animal, because in a way, it's a non-kosher animal now that it's a treifa, although it's a, let's say, a cow, a kosher animal, but a treifa is forbidden to be eaten, so the milk is like the milk of a non-kosher animal. And that's what we're discussing over here. So to the eggs from a kosher bird, but it became a treifa, it's like the egg of a non-kosher bird, and it's going to be forbidden. So to Halacha Yiraf, again, regarding Efreich Shenoilad, regarding a chick that hatched, mibeyas treifa, from the egg of a treifa, so mutter, that's going to be permitted. Why? She'ein minoy tamay, because it's not a species that's not kosher. So the Rambam is not intending to explain why is the chick permitted, because even though it's coming from Beya Treifa, that the Rambam is not coming to explain, because that actually the Gemara gives a different reason. Rather, the Rambam's intent is just to explain what's the difference between the chick from a Beya Treifa between the egg of a non-kosher animal. So that's what Rambam says, because it's not from a species that's not kosher, and therefore it's going to be permitted. Now, Hayahayv Sveg Treifa, but let's say the bird was not clear if it's a treifa or not. So then kol habayim shetelid barim rishayna. So all the eggs that are laid in the first group, which is where the chick, the bird, lays in different periods. So mash nisen. What you do is you hold on to those, that you wait till it finishes its whole first deliveries, and imtana rimishniya v'schilaleil. And then if it gets again, it starts carrying again eggs, and it gives birth a second time, which that's generally around the period of 21 days, which is the pregnancy of a chicken. Then hucha rishayinus, then the first ones are permitted. Because if it would have been a treifa, lohi so yiladisai, it would not have given birth again, and because it would only hatch that which already has, but it won't give birth again. And vim layolda, and if it doesn't give birth, harin asus, again those are forbidden. That tells us that it's a treifa, and therefore those are going to be forbidden. But the that would depend again if it's we have to use this test to verify if it's a treifa or not. And Alochid Beis Ram continues regarding milk from a non-Jew and how that relates to cheese and to butter. Says Ram Halochid Beis Chalei Beimetimeya, the milk of a non-kosher animal ain't a nikpa, it does not congeal va'omid and neither does it solidify kachaliv atayra like kosher milk. Now vim nesar of chaliv tmeya b'chaliv beimetimeya. What happens if you mix not kosher milk with kosher milk? Keshatamer, I say, when you solidify it, yamet chaliv atayra. The kosher milk is going to become a solid. V'yitzch chaliv tmeya makayim shalgvina, but the non-kosher milk is going to drip out with the whey of the cheese. Now, so on halacha, gimel the Ram Katin says, "Mneze, because of this, yit nadin." So logic would dictate, "Shekolcholav anim to be agoy." Any milk that you have by a non-Jew, which you don't know where the sources is, so also would be forbidden. Shemeir bechalim beimetzmeya, because maybe mixed a non-kosher milk from a non-kosher source. Now, ugvinas hagoyim muteres, but the cheese of a non-Jew should be permitted. Shein chalim beimetzmeya misgaben, like we said, because milk from a non-kosher source does not turn into cheese. So therefore, when you see the cheese, you'll know it's kosher. Avul Bud says the Rambam b'mei chachmei Mishnah in the days of the stage of the Mishnah. It's Gosvul Gvinas Hagoyim Asaram. They made a decree on the cheese of non-Jews, and they said it's forbidden. Why? Mnei shemamidin oisa, because they curdle it, they make it into cheese. But oir keva shel shchitasim, with the hide of the with the skin of the stomach of the animals that they slaughtered, she nevela, which those animals they're not slaughtering with kosher shchita, which makes it into a nevela. So because of the nevela entity, that's what makes it forbidden, which is what's making the cheese. So not because of non-kosher milk, but because of the ur, of the keva. Now, if you're going to say, but the skin of that stomach, that's very small in the amount of the milk that it's curdling, but so why wouldn't he be nullified in the minority? Says the Ram Neshu Hamaymen Agvina, because that's what's solidifying the cheese. Since what's forbidden is what's curdling it, and then everything's forbidden. Like the Ram is going to explain later on, Perek Tes Halacha Design, a maimid is something that's significant and does not become batal b'miyutei. Halacha Yedal says the Ram Gvina Shemamidim Oisa Hagoyim Ba'asav Ma'ib Me Pears. Now let's say it's cheese that the Goyim, that the Gentiles, they curdle it, they solidify it with herbs or with fruit juices. Kugoy sraf hata'enim, like the syrup of figs, and the harim the karma green, and it's recognizable in the cheese that it was made with this fig syrup. So how mixes hagoyim shasur? So some of the goyim they ruled that still it's going to be forbidden. Why? Shekvar gazal kol gvinas again, because the rabbinic decree was an old cheese of Gentiles. Bein shemidu b'davar, so whether it was actually solidified with something forbidden, bein shemidu b'davar muta, whether it's made with something permitted, gzer as a decree mishum shemidu nisim b'davar, because of what they do or in that they usually do make it with something forbidden, and because of that they said that even when it was made with kosher entities, it's still going to be forbidden. Halach tazvav. Someone eats the cheese of a Gentile, or the milk that a Gentile milked. The Jew didn't see this production. We give him rabbinic lashes because of violating the rabbinic law, which we said not to eat the Gentile cheese. Now, the butter of Gentiles, mixes again through some of the Goyim, they said it's permitted. Because the decree was never on butter. Moreover, the non-kosher milk doesn't solidify, and here it's solid. But it makes a second master, but some of these goyim said it's forbidden. Why? Because even in the butter, the droplets of milk, which could be from non-kosher sources, that remain over there. Because the whey in the butter, which is that milky part, It's not even mixed together with the butter, that it could even be nullified in the minority. In other words, the Isser, which is the whey, is recognizable. It's just you can't verify, you can't remove it from the butter, so therefore it's not bottled. And all their milk, we said, you have to be concerned for. Maybe not kosher milk was mixed in, and therefore they said that the butter is also forbidden. Now, says Ram, Allah Tazayin, now, it appears to me, now, if someone did purchase butter from a Gentile, and he cooked it until there's no more droplets of milk anymore, in other words, it gets heated up from the fire, Harizim Mataris then can be permitted. In other words, even according to those who say that the butter of a Gentile is forbidden, he would be initially permitted because there's so many different doubts that are now involved. Because maybe there was no non-kosher milk at all. And even if it was that it gets mixed in, maybe there's nothing left because it was heated up. And even if there's something left, maybe when you started cooking, it got burnt up in the fire. And therefore, you're not going to make it usher because of being mevatel on Isser. And b'chol, the person does not want to be mevatel like a chilu because his intention with cooking it is that it should actually not be here at all. It should be totally evaporated. So therefore, it's permitted. As Ram says, if you're going to say this orbi imam in this pashal kulam, that it got mixed together with them and it all got cooked, it got nullified in its minority. But regarding if it's butter that the Gentiles cook, then says Ram, that wouldn't help, because that's actually asur mishum gilagim. That would be forbidden because of the emissions of the Gentile vessels, which has its own problem about the blias of the vessels of the non-Jews. Like Ram is going to explain that Ram, because we presume that the vessel of a Gentile is ben yomai, and therefore the blias would not give a bad taste, it would give a good taste, and therefore it would be forbidden for that reason itself. If a Jew, however, is sitting on the side of the flock of a Gentile, and then the Gentile brings the milk from the flock, although they're in the flock, there's non-kosher animals, that milk is permitted to drink. And even if the Jew didn't see him milking from the cow, but it's that he could see that him milking it when he would stand up, because the Gentile is afraid to milk from the non-kosher animal, maybe he's going to stand up and see, because he could stand up and see. So because of that, one could rely on drinking that milk. Now, Halachit Ches Ram continues regarding the kashrus of the eggs of birds and of fish in different situations, how to verify if it's kosher or not. Says Ram, Halachit Ches Beya, Shashnei Rosh Ekan. If you have an egg that the two ends are rounded, like a ball, or the two ends are pointy, the yolk was on the outside and the white is on the inside, then from all those signs you know that definitively that's an egg from a non-kosher bird. Now, but let's say one end is round and one end is pointy, and the white is on the outside and the yellow, the yolk is on the inside. Oh, like the way our eggs are that we have from chickens. Now, it is possible still it's an egg from a non-kosher bird. But it is possible it's an egg from a kosher bird. Therefore, you ask the Jewish hunter who got these eggs, who's telling it. If he tells him, it's from that bird is kosher, so simply we can rely on him. But if he says, it's a kosher bird, he doesn't say which one, then you cannot go ahead and rely on him. But the Ravid writes that if that person has a presumed trustworthiness, then you can buy from him even if he doesn't even say what exactly it is. Halachi Tesla, therefore, in Lechem Beim and Agoyim, you don't purchase eggs from Gentiles, Elam Hoyim Makar Eisen, unless if he recognized them, meaning Vishle Ben Tvias Ayin, that the person could recognize Shem Beim Plain Atar, that they're the eggs of that kosher bird, like from a chicken. Now, today that we purchase eggs from Gentiles, even though they don't say necessarily from which bird it is, because we rely on that the majority of our eggs are from kosher birds, like that of chickens. And we're not concerned for them, then maybe the eggs of a trefo or eggs in the vela, because as we pointed out before, that even if it's from a kosher bird, it's less that not be trefo in the vela, that we're not concerned for. And ve'ein lichem nagayim, however, be'a trufa klal, but we never purchase from a Gentile stirred eggs in any situations, because we're concerned that actually it's a be'a that was a trefa that a Jew sold to a Gentile, and therefore, now that it's stirred up, we can't tell what it was, and therefore we never do that. But an intact egg, that we do, if we can tell which eggs these are. Now, halacha chaf, be'a dogim, regarding the eggs of fish, simenim kisimoni be'oif. So their signs are like the signs of the eggs of birds, of fowl. Now, if the two ends were either both round or both pointy, that's not kosher. One was round, one was pointy. Then you ask the Jew who's selling it. I salted these fish and I removed them from a kosher fish, meaning these eggs, the caviar, the that you eat from the fish, which here actually by birds, we just said it's enough that he says that it's from that bird. By fish, he has to say that I'm the one who salted it because salting is from far away and it could be from a non-kosher fish. Therefore, he has to say that I salted it. So then you could eat based on what he's saying. The mamala, but if he just tells him, turn him, don't, it's kosher, and it's not believed, elam ken hoya adam shulchas bekash. Again, unless he's a person that was established to be a well-respected halacha type of person with kashrus, then you could rely on him. But if not, he has to tell you exactly the procedures that he had done. Halacha chafav, Rambam continues regarding the kashrus of milk and fish that are bought. Says Rambam, halacha chafav, v'chein ein loken gvina. Similarly, we don't buy cheese, v'chatiches dog, or a piece of fish, in basim that doesn't have a sign. El misraeli, shulchas b'kashrus, only from a Jew that's presumed to be well trusted with kashrus. Now, Eretz Yisrael. But in the land of Israel, kashrus would be so when the majority were Jews, like chemical Yisraelis, but then you can buy from any Jew, and you could presume that it's kosher. And the milk that you can buy from any Jew in any place. Halach of base. Hakavish dug in tamim. Someone pickles non kosher fish. Tzir and mustard. The brine that comes out of that is also forbidden. Avat tzir chagam tamim. But the brine of non kosher locust is actually mutter. Why? Why is it permitted? Mishayim by malach luchas. Because there's no moisture. It's not from the actual the locust itself. Now the fikach in lichin tzir min agoyim. Therefore, you can't buy brine from Gentiles. And we can tell you by dog tar mishaytibar unless you have a kosher fish that's swimming in there. A fellow dagacher, even just one fish, then you can know that the brine is from that kosher fish. Halacha chav gimel. Goy shehivi areva malei chavias pesuchas shel tzir. Let's say a Gentile brought a trough full with open barrels shel tzir of brine. Now the dog echad tar ba'achas, and you have a kosher fish in one of those barrels. So kul mataras, all the barrels are going to be permitted. And the reason for that is because since all these barrels are like, since they're open, they're like one barrel. Because a person generally would pick from one and put it into the other. Therefore, it's like all mixed together. And therefore, it's like one status. And therefore, as we see, there's the kosher fish here, one of them. So they're all going to be permitted. Now, hayustumas, let's say they all closed the barrels. So then, pasach achas v'nimtzabog dog tar. If you open up one and you find a kosher fish. Shni v'nimtzabog tar, and you open up the second one, you find a kosher fish. Where you find a kosher fish in two of them. Obviously, then all of them are brined from kosher fish, and therefore kulam mataras are all going to be permitted. Now, v'hu, but this is that it's shayir reishay shel dog b'shidri kaim. This that you open up and you see a kosher fish, has to be that at least the head and the spine of the fish are intact. K'deshay nikar shu dog tar, that it can be recognizable that it is actually a kosher fish. L'fikach, therefore, ein leichen dogim rutzatzim maluchim nagoyim. We don't buy crushed, salted fish from Gentiles. Behem anakram tris trufa, that's called tris trufa, because you can't recognize if that's a kosher fish or not. Now, v'mayu reish hadag b'shidri nikar, but if the head and the spine of the fish is recognizable, af b'shemirutzas, even though it's crushed, muntalika chayis minagoy, then you're allowed to purchase it from a Gentile. Aloha chavdal, it says the Ram, goy shehibi grob shel chatichas dog. If a Gentile brings a keg of chatichas dog, a piece of fish, shechetuchim shabu, which are cut into equal slices, v'heini kar shekul medog echad, and they're recognizable from one fish, umatza b'chatichas min keskas, and now you find on one of the pieces, scales. Ah, you call mataras, open middle, because I always have one fish, and one scale is enough to say that it's a kosher fish, and therefore one could eat from any one of the pieces, even one of the pieces that does not have a scale on it.